at the old building, I had chairs I could come up here and sit in and listen to you sing. But now I'd have to sit on the top of that baptistry, and I'm afraid I would break it and fall through. The Old Testament prophets are a special reading for those of us who enjoy reading the Bible. I include all of us in that. You have to understand that as the prophets spoke, they spoke to the people of the moment about things that were important to them. But there was an underlying message that they knew nothing about. It was the message of God that he held in secret until Jesus would appear, would be crucified, buried, be raised from the dead, and ascend back to the Father and send his Holy Spirit, who would be available for anyone who would believe. So when you read the Old Testament prophets, because we read them now and we look back at the stories, we see things there that even Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37 didn't see. When Ezekiel talks about the valley of dry bones, he was talking about the captivity of Israel. And in his mind, when God said, I will put sinew on the bones, and I will put flesh on the bones, and I will bring them back to life, he was talking about the restoration of Israel to their land, the restoration of the kingdom. Because you remember back in Deuteronomy chapter 27, when God made the covenant of blessing and cursing, he told Israel, if you're faithful to me, your land will always be yours. No one can invade you. No one can overtake you. No one can hold you captive. And when Israel disobeyed, God would take them into captivity. And during Ezekiel's time, we find them in Babylonian captivity. And God calls on Ezekiel to go to the Kibar River where Israel is in captivity and preach to them. And so, to Ezekiel, the Valley of Dry Bones was about the Jews. To you and me, the Valley of the Dry Bones is about us. In the book of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, something significant was happening. In chapter 3, when the hand of the Lord came to Ezekiel, he saw the cherubim. You remember the song, Ezekiel saw a wheel way up in the middle of the air, a wheel in the wheel. Ezekiel saw a wheel way up in the middle of the air. It was the glory of the Lord. Ezekiel looked up in the air and he saw what few people have seen. John would see it in the book of Revelation in chapter 1. Isaiah would talk about the cherubim, but Ezekiel had a vision. And so when the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel in chapter 3, he saw the glory of the Lord. In chapters 8 through 11, he sees the abominations of the temple. The hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel, and God took him into the temple, and he showed Ezekiel how Israel had defamed the temple and how they were doing things that were disobedient. And when the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel, he had responses. If you flip back to the very first part of Ezekiel, in chapter 1 and verse 28, after he saw the cherubim, it was like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. And this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down. And then in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Spirit then lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the anger of my spirit, and with strong hand of the Lord upon me. There's our phrase. And I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Abib near the Kibar River, and there where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days overwhelmed. And so when Ezekiel felt the hand of the Lord, or heard the hand of the Lord, or saw the hand of the Lord in a vision, It always was a significant moment, and he always responded in some significant way.
I think it's kind of funny in chapter 3 when he sat among the exiles, overwhelmed for several days. Finally, God comes back and he says, listen, I didn't bring you out here to sit around and be overwhelmed. You got to get up and speak my word to these exiles.
Well, part of the word that Ezekiel spoke to the exiles is in Ezekiel chapter 37. This little short story, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The valley of dry bones about which we just sang, these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming his flesh. Now, if you have your Bibles open, I would say to you there's Bibles in the pew in front of you, but that is still to come. But if you go through this text in Ezekiel chapter 37, you find two words that are repeated several times. One is the word spirit, and the other is the word breath. Chapter 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. If you were Ezekiel and you realized this, the hand of the Lord was coming upon you, you know, it might make the hair stand up on the back of your neck just a little bit, wondering what's it going to be, a vision of doom or a vision of glory. And then you go down through the text, and he uses the word breath in the New International Version. If you're reading the King James Bible or one of the other versions, it might use a different word. But the NIV is consistent in the use of the word breath. He says in verse 5, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones, I will make breath enter you. And the word breath and the word spirit in this text are the same word, and it is the word ruach. And it's used all through the Bible, and it is the Old Testament equivalent of the New Testament word that we see translated Holy Spirit. And it's used all through the Bible, and it's used in the sense of something that gives animation. It is something that is dynamic, this ruach, this breath of God. It's used in Genesis as just simply the movement of the air. And when the wind blows, there is movement there. There is dynamic. There is action. Something is happening with the air. In Judges chapter 8 and verse 3, when the people responded to the challenge that was before them, they had anger. And it is that thing you feel when you get angry about something and it moves you inside. And, you know, I don't know what you do when you get angry, but it is something more than just a casual feeling about something. That is ruach. That is how God describes the vitality in the period of the judges, or the self-control that is mentioned in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. The idea of ruach is that there is something happening in us. In John chapter 15 in the New Testament, the Bible says that the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin. When you and I feel conviction or acknowledge conviction in our lives about something that the Word of God brings to us or the circumstances of life brings to us, that is ruach, that is the Spirit of God. However that plays out with you, however you would see it in your life. When you are motivated to clap during a song, when you are motivated to bow and be silent with tears dropping from your face, that is ruach, that is the Spirit of God working in us. And so Ezekiel is presented by God with this. I don't know whether this is a picture that Ezekiel has or if God actually took Ezekiel out into a literal valley, and in that valley was the remains of dead humans. It was a valley of dry bones. Probably looked like the skeleton of cows that you find out in the field when you're hunting. A cow that's died and the sun has bleached the bones and maggots have eaten all the flesh off of it. And it's just sitting there, the bones lying scattered throughout this valley, a valley of dry bones. And this is what God is telling Israel. God is telling Ezekiel is Israel. a nation that was created by God and given life by His Word is now seen by God as a valley of dry bones. It's when God recognizes Israel for what they are. It's the way you and I are when we finally realize that we have sinned. It's that feeling that is the very opposite of the feeling of the Spirit when He motivates us to shout out with joy or to bow in reverence and awe. You remember our study of the Gospel of John that we just finished on Sunday mornings. The woman at the well, you remember, that had been with five husbands and was now living with a man that wasn't her husband. Her life was like dry bones. When we face challenges in our life and we just don't have any words to even ask God what to do, I think we at that moment understand what it means to be like dry bones. There is no animation. There is no vitality. There is no even anger. There is just this sense of loss and dread and dryness. Like the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. The truth is, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we have all been dead in our trespasses and sins. Paul writes in Titus chapter 3, he says, we all also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers, lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. All of us have been there. I don't know how to get you to embrace the idea of Ezekiel 37 in the dry bones this morning. I don't know what you're thinking about right now. You might be... Does anybody know yet exactly how many tiles are on this wall? You know, I remember sitting in church when I was a student at Broadway, and I don't remember what the front of the Broadway building looked like, but I came up with all kinds of things to occupy my mind when I didn't really listen to Joe Barnett all that closely. I don't know what you're doing right now. You may be sitting there thinking about why you hate your husband. Or why do they still have him preaching here? Or I can't wait for this to be over. Or maybe the roast is burnt. I don't know what you're thinking about right now. When God took Ezekiel out to the valley of dry bones, He wanted Ezekiel to embrace the dryness of Israel. And He wants you and I to embrace the dryness of our own lives without God. Without God, you and I are a dried up, sun-bleached, useless bone. We are. And that's what God wants Ezekiel to see, and He wants you and I to embrace Ezekiel chapter 37. And then God says something interesting to Ezekiel in verse 4. Now listen to this. God put the prophets in all kinds of weird circumstances. He told them to do the crazy. He has Ezekiel at one time cutting off a third of his hair and throwing a third of that to the wind and cut with the sword before it hits the ground. You know, if God had us preachers doing what He had the prophets doing, none of us would have a job. He had one of the prophets laying on his side for 8 days with his face behind a big iron skillet just to make a point. God wants Ezekiel to know. He tells Ezekiel that he shows him this valley of dry bones, and then he says in verse 4, Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. Now, how would you like to be a preacher and get an assignment like that? He's standing out in the middle of a valley of dry bones, or he's received a vision of a valley of dry bones. I think probably he's really there. And God says, okay, Ezekiel, now that you understand what Israel's like, start preaching to the bones. Speak to the bones. Now, if you're a prophet, what are you thinking? Well, what is, you know, it's like you guys sometimes. He says, Ezekiel, I want you to preach to the bones. Verse 9, he says, and listen to this one, prophesy to the Ruach. You know what he's telling him there? Preach to the wind. Call to the wind. So you got a valley of dry bones, and he's saying, Ezekiel, I want you to get out amongst the bones, and I want you to call on God. I want you to call to the wind. Man, this gets loud in here if I get...
Doesn't it? It isn't loud. I have to talk real soft.
He says, call to the wind. And then you have this picture here. Dry bones, Ezekiel says, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make Ruach enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put Ruach in you and you will come to life. Then you'll know that I am the Lord. Isn't that a great picture? God says, dry bones, call to the wind. Then you'll know that I am Lord, because I'll bring meat back to your old dry bones. Isn't that a great picture? So what God has been doing all these years, He's waiting for the bones to rattle so that He can give us life.
Wouldn't you love to have been Ezekiel and seen that valley of dry bones coming to life? It was a rattling noise. So I was prophesying as I was commanded, and there was a noise, a rattling sound.
JL, I should have brought a good pair of 10 points. You been thinking about that? See, I knew you were thinking about hunting. That's why I called on you. Like rattling up a buck with a pair of antlers, the bones in the dry valley begin to rattle. And Ezekiel hears the noise. You know, when you read the prophets, you kind of got to let yourself loosen up and get your imagination going. And there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together, bone to bone. That may be where that song came from. The head bone connected to the shoulder bone to the foot bone. It's a real short man. There was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. It looked like it looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no Ruach in them. Prophesy to the Ruach. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, Ruach entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet. A vast army, dry bones turned into an army. Isn't it kind of an exciting picture? God has been answering rattling bones for years. The earth was held captive under sin. And God said, the virgin will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel. And at Jesus' baptism, the bones were rattling because people were without God and without Emmanuel. And a voice came out of heaven like the breath that swept across the valley and gave flesh back to the dry bones. And God says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The bones rattled in the wilderness as Jesus was being tempted. And Jesus, for our sakes, said, "Man does not live on bread alone." And at the very end of his life, because of the dryness of our souls, Jesus bowed his head on Calvary and he said, "It is finished." And the Ruach of God was soon to come. Joel had prophesied in Joel chapter 2 that there would be a time when the Ruach of God would come into all the world for every person. And Peter speaks of that prophecy in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, quoting Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And God says, "I will pour out my Old Testament word, Ruach, on all flesh. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." What do you learn from Ezekiel 37? What do you come away with a story like this? How would you apply it? Well, Ezekiel applies it in verse 14. Now you remember when I started out, I said when you read the Old Testament prophets, you got to keep, there's two things going on. There's the actual events of the Old Testament period going on where God is speaking through Ezekiel to the captives at the Kibar River in Babylon. And there's a message specifically for them. And then there is this underlying mysterious message about Jesus that none of them understood at the moment. And while Ezekiel unknowingly speaks of Jesus, in his mind, he's just talking to Israel. And he says in verse 24, "I will put my Ruach in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it." And so in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus would say later to an assemblage of Jews who were sitting there listening to him preach at the Sermon on the Mount, he would tell them this. He said, "I have not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." You see, Jesus is the breath of our life. Jesus is the Ruach that comes into our lives and creates in us a new and clean heart. It is Jesus who comes to a life that is bleached from sin and says, "I'm preaching to the bones." And as Jesus dies on the cross, to those who believe, the dry bones become as flesh. And we're created new. We have new life, new vitality, a new dynamic, a new hope, new breath. Because we have been given something from God. This morning we end this little lesson, this short, brief overview of Ezekiel 37. And our thoughts turn now from Ezekiel to us. And the question is, if you're dry as a bone, the only place to find sinew and skin and a new heart is Jesus. And that's why baptism takes on this amazing importance in the New Testament. You see, baptism is a burial of dry bones and a resurrection of new flesh. Galatians 3 says, "You are clothed in Christ." Titus chapter 3 calls it the washing of regeneration. You see how God says the same thing in the Old and the New? Whenever God speaks, whenever His Ruach moves, flesh is put back on the bones. Hope is restored. Life is given animation and a dynamic that was lost. And that's God's call to us. But see, Israel, over there in the captive state, had to decide what they were going to do with God. They had to decide whether or not they would turn. And you and I have to decide whether we will turn. You and I have to turn to God and say, yes, I am dry. I need your Spirit in me. And in our baptism, God promises that gift, that step of faith that says, God, I am now yours. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And everything changes. God starts us anew. Jeremiah's calling this morning. He's preaching to the bones. If you need a new heart, only God can give it. While we stand and sing.